How many times do you have to forgive? We'll get the answer on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay tuned. Here we go. Hello there. Welcome to the program. I've been waiting for you. Come on in and make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm going to be here with you for the next 30 minutes as we talk about Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church. How you doing today? Hope you're doing well. It's very hot here in southern New Jersey, and but I'm inside. It's nice and cool. And in fact, you know, it's funny. I have my beverage du jour today, which just happens to be some Mystic Monk coffee. I'm going to take a sip of that now before we get started. See, I'm one of those crazy people who can drink coffee even when it's hot outside. Which, by the way, if you're looking for some great coffee, check out Mystic Monk Coffee, available at followingthetruth.com. The greatest coffee you will ever taste. It is really delicious, and it's roasted by real monks passionate for fine coffee. Really good stuff. Mystic Monk Coffee, check it out today. On the program in the next 30 minutes, we are going to discuss the great mass readings from today, very powerful gospel, especially the gospel reminder from Jesus that we are called to forgive, not once, not twice, not seven times, but always. It is a challenging message. It's not an easy message for us to really accept, but it's one that's important. If we want to be followers of Jesus, what do we have to do? We have to listen to what he says. It makes sense, doesn't it? So that's what we will be discussing. That's what we'll be discussing on the show today. If I have some extra time, I have some other material, but we'll see how we do on time. I wanted to give you a couple of reminders. The first one being that on September the 4th, we begin total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Now, already I'm hearing a lot of interest in it. This year, the best of the best. I'm going to use several different preparation methods, put them all together and come up with something that is completely unique and that's never been done before. So let your friends know about it. What do you need to do? What books do you need to buy? You don't need to buy any books because I'm using several different books. So don't worry about a book. Sometimes we get too hung up on the books, and I've had people say, can I just read the book and not listen to you? Well, of course you can. So if you're going to listen to me, I might as well give you something different. Therefore, I came up with a new plan this year. I'm going to use several different books. All you need to do is listen to the podcast, download it from iTunes, from TuneIn Radio, from Blog Talk Radio, or go to my website and listen to it. There are a number of different ways that you could access the show. And if you're listening now, you've already figured out how to access the show, so you don't need that. But just remember that it starts on September the 4th and runs for 33 days straight. Monday through Friday's programs will be 30 minutes in length. And Saturday and Sunday will be 15 minutes in length. So it'll be easier for all of us if we do it that way. That's one of the reasons why I'm doing it that way. If you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I want to apologize, by the way, for the glitchiness of yesterday's broadcast. After I recorded it, I noticed that there were some audio glitches in the program. It's one of those funny things with the program that I use to record this podcast. Every now and then, I do run into some audio trouble, so I apologize for that. It's not something that I have a lot of control over. I've tried taking some steps to prevent that from happening, but there are glitches in the software, and sometimes you get a little bit of a funky sound. Hopefully, today's show will turn out better. Let's see, anything else? I've taken the week off from radio. My two shows that I do typically each week, the Sunrise Morning Show, on Wednesday at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, and my Catholic Community Radio show, Catholic Community Radio in Louisiana, both of those I didn't do this week. One because I was on vacation, and the other, Sunrise Morning Show, because Anna Mitchell was on vacation. Next week is a busier week, and in fact, let me get my calendar out here because we've got some things going on. Next week I have Relevant Radio at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on Monday morning. It'll be great, even though I haven't decided on the topic yet. I think I have an idea where we want to go with it, where I want to go with this one. So give it a listen and see how it turns out. But in the meantime, there's still tomorrow, and I plan to be back here for tomorrow's program. But that's what's going on Monday, Relevant Radio at 7 a.m. And I hope you'll be able to tune in to listen to that. Okay. And by the way, Monday's a very special day. It's the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, how about this? I think I'm going to talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary, especially with total consecration coming up. I'd really like to talk more about that. So I think that'll be my opportunity Monday on Relevant Radio. Look at that. Just like that, I decided what I'm going to talk about. If you have any questions about anything regarding the Catholic faith, if you have any questions about the show, if you just want me to go away, if you like me, if you don't like me, Gary@followingthetruth.com is the email address. Please let me know whatever I can do for you. Okay, I want to mention this one more time, well, for today anyway. I was looking at the numbers for my monthly donations, and last month was the lowest it's been all year. And I know summer's a tough time of month, so I want to put that out there to just ask you, if you're able, if you're a listener and you like the program and you don't contribute on a regular basis, I know what it's like, because there are many people that don't like to do that, or that don't realize how important it is. It is critical. If you can help me financially to continue going forward with this show, I really need your help. Now's the time to do it. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com and go to the donate page and either become a monthly sponsor, which I very much need some new monthly sponsors, or make a one-time donation. You can do that right from followingthetruth.com securely through PayPal. So it's not a complicated process, and your information will be kept secure. So please understand that that's really important to me. And the other thing is, if you're a shopper from Amazon, and you would like to help me out and be able to fund this program in a very simple way, all you need to do is, instead of typing in Amazon.com on your browser, just go to followingthetruth.com and click on the Amazon link that way, and that will take you into Amazon.com. And because you came from my website, it results in a little bit of a commission for me. So that helps me to keep the program up and running. So I thank you in advance for that. Today is the Feast of St. Clare. We're going to talk more about her after we pray. But first, let's do what we always do and begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for always listening whenever we speak. Thank you for watching us and for always being around us no matter where we go. Father, we thank you for the gift of life for this new day. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for our wonderful Catholic faith. We thank you for your unconditional and merciful love. No matter what we do, you still love us, and we're very grateful for that. We thank you for reserving a place for us in your heavenly kingdom. Please help us to get the grace that we need to be able to live with you in heaven forever one day. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our family members. I ask you to especially bless my daughter Elizabeth, who is spending a week with the Daughters of St. Paul for the duration of this week in Boston. Please help her, keep her safe. Keep all of our family members safe. Please help all those who are sick, all those who are lonely, all those who are anxious, all those who are struggling with doubt or despair, all those who are battling addiction, anyone who is dealing with financial difficulty, anyone who may be experiencing religious persecution or extreme weather conditions. Father, please help the homeless, the homebound, and all of those who might be living in extreme poverty. Please bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. Please put an end to abortion. Please allow peace to take over the world and put an end to violence and terrorism. We ask for our own personal needs, whatever they may be. Father, I give you this show, and I ask you to speak through me. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn, as we do each day, to our Blessed Mother Mary, and together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Clare, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. We're going to talk now about, let's talk for a couple of minutes about St. Clare. It's her feast day today. It's a special day. St. Clare was in the year 1212. St. Clare left her home in Assisi, clothed in a rich dress with fine jewels. At San Damiano, she laid these aside as she donned a rough smock, the first habit of the poor Clares. St. Francis made her the head of the order of women who devoted themselves to Eucharistic prayer and joyful poverty. In imitation of Christ, Clare desired to be the servant of all. "Do what you want with me," she told her sisters. "I am yours because my will is no longer my own. I have given it to God." St. Clare died in 1253, and we ask her to please pray for us, especially when it comes to being able to break away from the love of earthly possessions. I think this is a very powerful story when we look at St. Clare. And she wasn't the only one who did this. We look at her life and how she gave up her wealth in order to serve the Lord. Now, does that mean you have to give up all of your possessions, all of your money? No, it doesn't, but it certainly is something you want to take a look at when it comes to how much is too much. Am I hoarding my money? Am I not being generous with those in need? Am I placing greater faith and trust in possessions than I am in the Lord? And that happens. That really does. Sometimes we have a sense of confidence and peace when we have a good amount of money in our bank account. But yet when we have just the Lord, who really is our source of comfort, our source of peace, oftentimes we're not that happy because we might not have the kind of money that we like. This is a common problem. I don't want you to freak out about it if you realize that you're prone to that. Most people are. And that's why so many of the spiritual exercises that we find have to do with renouncing the things of the world. Not necessarily in a literal sense, but at least in a figurative sense. It's okay to have possessions. It's okay to have money in the bank. But if they mean more to you than your relationship with the Lord does, then that's a problem. Are you able to trust the Lord solely because you have a lot of money at the bank? Or are you able to trust him because he's all-powerful and he loves you and he will provide for you? Again, that's a real challenge. That's not an easy thing to understand or to accept. This idea that maybe I do care more about things than I do about the Lord. So, where do we go? Where do we go with all of this? I would say the best place for us to go is to the Lord and to ask for help. And it's great that we have total consecration to Jesus through Mary coming up, because that's one of the ways that you can be able to grow closer to Jesus and less attached to the things of the world. Because honestly, a lot of these worldly possessions are going to keep us away from the Lord. So keep that in mind for total consecration. This is a great example of what it means to renounce what you have and to really embrace your relationship with the Lord. This example of St. Clare. Imagine what it's like to give up what you have because you want to embrace poverty to grow closer to the Lord. It's almost unimaginable that somebody could do that. But St. Clare did that. And, you know, I think we can all do something similar. Not maybe all the way, but there's something we can do to move away from our love of creatures and our love of comfort and our love of things and to be able to move closer to our Lord. So let's do these daily Mass readings, because there are some good messages here. The first reading, and this is for Thursday of the 19th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, you live in the midst of a rebellious house. They have eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Now, son of man, during the day, while they are looking on, prepare your baggage as though for exile, and again, while they are looking on, migrate from where you live to another place. Perhaps they will see that they are a rebellious house. You shall bring out your baggage like an exile in the daytime, while they are looking on in the evening. Again, while they are looking on, you shall go out like one of those driven into exile. While they look on, dig a hole in the wall and pass through it. While they look on, shoulder the burden and set out in the darkness. Cover your face that you may not see the land, for I have made you a sign for the house of Israel." I did as I was told. During the day, I brought out my baggage as though it were that of an exile. And at evening, I dug a hole through the wall with my hand, and while they looked on, set out in the darkness, shouldering my burden. Then in the morning, the word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, did not the house of Israel, that rebellious house, ask you what you were doing? Tell them, says the Lord God, this oracle concerns them. Thus says the Lord God, this oracle concerns Jerusalem and the whole house of Israel within it. I am a sign for you. As I have done, so shall it be done to them as captives. They shall go into exile. The priest, the prince who is among them shall shoulder his burden and set out in darkness, going through a hole that he has dug in the wall and covering his face, lest he be seen by anyone." So we have some things happening in the house of Israel, some things that aren't really especially good. And what's happening, what we see here is Ezekiel is being used as an example, because the people are not paying attention to the Lord. And I think, let's tie this into St. Clair and recall what happened with her. She recognized that her wealth was potentially an obstacle in her relationship with the Lord. And as is the case for most of us. So I would say to you today, what is it that is getting in the way of your relationship and the Lord? What is getting in the way of your relationship with the Lord? And if so, what can you do to remove it or to minimize it so that it's not that important to you? You know what I mean? It's very critical that we do that, because one day you're going to be judged, and it's a matter of you're going to be judged on how you lived your life. So if there's something that's blocking you and the Lord, don't you think it's a good idea to get rid of it now? And think about it this way: we're not going to be able to take anything with us when we die. So when we die, nothing comes with us. So we might as well look at ways to focus on what really does matter as opposed to what doesn't matter. And a lot of times, much of our emphasis in life is on things that are temporary, that things that go away. And we're going to talk about a lot of this during total consecration, especially during the week devoted to ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world. So I really do hope you'll be able to participate. I really do believe in it. I do believe in total consecration. That's why I'm doing it. And that's why I talk about it so much, because it really is critical in this process of growing closer to the Lord. So keep that in mind. Let's look at the first reading. Do not forget the works of the Lord. And, you know, we see in that first reading, Ezekiel is being told by the Lord, that he is in the midst of a rebellious house. They have eyes to see but do not see, and ears to hear but do not hear. We have the capability, you and I, to listen to what the Lord says to us through his church, through sacred scripture. But do we? Now, in fact, we're going to hear a message in the gospel today. It's a challenging message. It's a message that oftentimes gets ignored. And that's what we have a tendency to do. When the messages are too challenging, what we sometimes do is kind of block them out. But you don't want to be in that position, because that's exactly what's being talked about in the first reading. Psalm 78, do not forget the works of the Lord. They tempted and rebelled against God the Most High and kept not his decrees. They turned back and were faithless like their fathers. They recoiled like a treacherous bow. They angered him with their high places, and with their idols roused his jealousy. God heard and was enraged and utterly rejected Israel. And he surrendered his strength into captivity, his glory in the hands of the foe. He abandoned his people to the sword and was enraged against his inheritance. Now keep in mind, these readings are from the Old Testament. They sound very harsh. They were written thousands of years ago. So the circumstances they're different. The circumstances and the times were different, but the message is the same. We can't forget about the Lord. And if we do, there's going to be a price to be paid. Unfortunately, in the world, the Lord has basically been forgotten. He really is. We live in a society, whether it's in America or England or any other number of countries, where God is really not in the picture. He's a God that is taken off the shelf when we need him. If we want to go to church on Sunday, maybe we'll think about him. But it is not encouraged, at least in the world, that we speak about the Lord throughout the work week, throughout the week, I should say. At the workplace, you know, you can't talk about religion in the workplace. There are so many different statements that we hear that it's inappropriate to share your faith because faith is a private matter. Well, no, it's not. You can't coerce anybody, but we're all called to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. So it's absolutely something that we should be doing, but it's not encouraged. And as a result, we have a world that has turned away from the Lord. Now, we can't control what other people do, but we certainly can control what we do. And the question we should ask is, are we praying? Are we praying for the state of the world? Are we doing what we can by being kind to people, by not holding grudges, by forgiving? See, these are things that we could do. And this leads into the gospel, which is a very challenging gospel. Let's get to it now. The gospel according to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21, and it goes right through chapter 19, verse 1. It's a bit of a long gospel today. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When the servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives his brother from the heart. When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea across the Jordan. So you get the message, right? 77 times, you know that means always. How often should I forgive? Always. And the story that Jesus told, it's dramatic, and the point is very clear. We need to forgive all of those who have wronged us or whoever will wrong us in the future. We always have to forgive if we expect the Lord to forgive us. And one day, you will be judged. And this is going to come up. Don't think that the Lord's going to skip over this, because this is one of the toughest teachings. And it's one that's very, very important. So please remember that. Who in your life are you struggling to forgive? And what can you do about it? What can you do about it? Who are you struggling to forgive? And what can you do about it? Can you call somebody up? Can you ask to meet with somebody? Can you forgive them? Maybe you don't even speak to them anymore. Maybe it's impossible to speak to that person. Maybe they died. Can you forgive that person? And you do that simply by an act of the will. I forgive you. Pray for the person. Desire their best. These are things you can do. Is it easy? No. But Christianity's not for wimps. Christianity is a difficult way of life. We have to make that conscious decision to forgive that person. And you know, sometimes we get a little somber on this show. I mean, I have to give it to you straight. Sometimes it's not really pleasant. But you need to hear this, because this is something I struggle with, and I have a feeling you may be struggling with it too. It's really easy to say you love Jesus, but it's not easy to put that love into practice. Because that person that you can't forgive, that's Jesus. Jesus said, "Whatever you do for the least of my brothers or my sisters, you do it to me." If you don't forgive that person, then you're not forgiving Jesus. And what we have to remember too is we don't deserve to be able to live in heaven. We were born with original sin. We have sinned many times. But through his mercy, the Lord has opened the gates of heaven and is willing to let us live with him forever once we depart this earthly life. All we need to do is follow his commands and walk with him. And if he tells us we have to forgive somebody, we really have to do it. So keep that in mind today. I really want you to think about that. What can I do to be more forgiving? Am I losing patience with people all the time? Do I reach a point where I say I can't forgive you anymore? Ask the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you, to let you know where you may have a problem. It is absolutely better to work it out while you're still alive than to deal with it after you die, because time's up then. Okay? So, if you have any questions, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. God willing, I plan to be back tomorrow as we look at the Sunday Mass reading, so I hope you'll be able to join me. And remember, total consecration begins on September the 4th. Get ready. Tell your friends. Make sure you are on my email mailing list. You can do that from my website, followingthetruth.com. It's going to be big. Get ready and get prepared, because we're going to have lots of fun. Have a wonderful night. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.